So there is just so much to be grateful for, and I'll just tell you, as we open up the Word, we're going to be in Matthew 28 today. We're in a series called This Missional Moment. I would invite you to join me there if you have a Bible. If not, it'll be on the screen. But today is a good one for us because we're going to talk about faith and doubt. Faith and doubt. And these two things go hand in hand. If we were perfect as humans, it would just be faith. There would be no doubt. But a little insight to your lead pastor. Last night I went to bed and finished my day with doubt. Doubt in myself. Doubt in my own mood. I can sympathize with my 4-year-old daughter, and as you think about watching the Bluey episode, bad mood. I had to bear that last night going to bed, and I just told myself, go to sleep. Just go to sleep. We live with faith and doubt. Right now, I'm living with doubt in these lights that they're going to just treat us like this all service long. We live in the tension of faith and doubt. And frankly, that tells me two things. One, we are human and it's not yet fully heaven. We are human and it's not yet fully heaven. Two, this is why Jesus calls us to his mission. He calls us to his mission because he knows there is faith available to us in him. There is redemption in him. There is salvation in him. There is faithfulness in him. There is love everlasting in him. There is security in him. And I am prone to doubt that. And I need people who will move towards me with faith and with purpose, and with the presence of Jesus to reassure me and remind me that in the midst of my doubt, there is a God who is faithful. In the midst of my doubt, there is a God who is perfect. In the midst of my doubt, there is a God who redeems and restores and forgives. In the midst of my doubt, God wants to come for me. That is what this missional moment is all about. And I want to be really clear. We have been living in this missional moment since Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples. So it's not a missional moment that emerged in the last 4 weeks. It's not a missional moment that emerged in my lifetime. It is the heart of God from the moment he said, let there be light. Until we are in his presence and we are singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, who is eternally on the throne. All has been made right. All has been made new. All tears have been wiped away. All death has been swallowed up. We live in the tension of this missional moment, which is God coming for us. And us living on the edge that it's not yet fully heaven. Does this speak to the reality that you know day in and day out? Yes. Yes. Last week, our founding pastor opened up our series and he focused on a key truth that we need to understand. This missional moment for followers of Jesus is not so much about us as it is about God's authority. Alan said it's God's authority that guides our mission. So here's the thing. If you are following Jesus, I'm going to speak very clearly to you today. If you're still exploring faith, if you're considering your relationship with Jesus, you just are going to get a picture of what you are being called into. But we must always remember it is God's authority that guides us into God's mission. Therefore, we cannot do any of this apart from him. We don't do this because we're so faithful. We do this because it is God's authority in our lives, speaking to us, leading us, and guiding us. So we can take a collective Inhale and exhale. God's got it. Will we humble ourselves and follow Him? We had just completed a series called God's Kingdom Over My Castle, because that idea leads me to a life that is not just about myself, it's about God's work welcoming people home. God wants to welcome us home day in and day out to His presence, to Himself. That's what you were created for. To live depending on God, connected to God, drawing life from the very source of life, day in and day out. So when you go to sleep at night and you're in a bad mood, you wake up in the morning and you say, God, let your kingdom come. God, I wake up today realizing I need you. I'm aware of the doubt that's in me and the faith that I want to have. And maybe right now it's a lot more disappointment. Maybe right now it's a lot more fatigue. It's a lot more sadness. We say anyway, God, come. Give me courage to trust you in this missional moment. The reason I think it's so important for us to see the text today is it speaks to the struggle of life. Has anybody ever felt struggle in your life? Just giving you a chance to stretch your arms. Everybody. As this is why I love Jesus. He entered into it. He's like the most aware of the struggle. That's why He came. He's the most aware of the tension. That's why He forgives. He's the most aware of my imperfection. That's why He saves. And then it says that all the things that would steal life from me and draw me to be a person of doubt and disbelief, it says He took them into His very body and He bore them so that I could be free, so that you could be free. So we need to know this. You do not need to be avoiding the struggle. We need to name what's real. And we're going to see this really clearly in Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. I want to try something. I'm going to ask our tech team to help me out. Vinny, will you try changing the light setting to something that's not this? I think it needs to go dark. Yeah, let's do that. Let's try that for a minute. I don't know. Hey, if that means the lights don't do this, we'll try it. Thank you. Just y'all feel free. This is, our tech team does such a good job week in and week out. Like, it's amazing. They are fighting an unruly system. So I'm going to pray so that maybe I won't be completely distracted. We're going to read God's word. We're going to hear the words of Jesus today, and we're going to live from it. God, you are so present today. I just pray we wouldn't take that for granted and we wouldn't hold that at a distance. We would just acknowledge, come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Would you lead us into the truth you have for us today in your word? We want to live connected to you, faithful to the Bible, as Jesus, you modeled for us to be completely full of the Spirit and faithful to the word. For you are the living word. So come now, illuminate the scriptures for us with your life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20 says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. For context, this is after Jesus is arrested, tried, crucified, buried, and raised to life. In some ways, what we're getting is, you know, there's this adage, begin with the end in mind. This is the end of Jesus' ministry on the earth before he fully ascends to be at the Father's right hand, which we believe is happening right now, where he is praying for his church day in and day out, moment in, moment out, the living God. So we get this moment where the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Let's read this one more time. Verse 17, all together. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We are going to be sitting down in these few verses over and over, just looking at different parts of it, because there's so much here for us. And as we read the scriptures, we can pay attention to what just captures your attention. So I'm curious, as we read these few verses, what do you notice about this? What just surprises you or captures your attention in the Word as we read it out loud together? Where is the Holy Spirit drawing you into relationship with Him and truth? See, this missional moment is about a people surrendered to Jesus, who know He is sending us to bring good news, a message of hope that the living God wants to have a relationship with us. And surely I am with you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. So when we gather for worship, we want to know God is with us. It's His promise to us in Matthew 28. And what I know from the very outset of this is we go because Jesus leads us. The 11 go to the mountain because what? Jesus said, go. And the disciples therefore go and make disciples because who said? Jesus. Jesus is stepping in and saying, I will lead, you follow. I will give direction, you follow. Jesus told them to go to the mountain. Then they saw Him, and Jesus came to them and said, I do not want us to think for a minute we can have faith in Jesus and then not listen to Him. I do not want us to think for a moment we go, I believe in Jesus, and Jesus does not lead every part of my life. If you believe Jesus is worth your life, we need to be a people who will let Him lead us. We will go. We will be sent ones. We go because Jesus is leading. And I think sometimes this can be hard because it's like you have really good human examples of why you don't want to go. Does that make sense? You have seen stories, you have encountered people who go in the name of Jesus, and you go, I do not want to be like that person. I don't want to be associated with that person. I don't want to be treated like that person treats people. And so often, we avoid going because we talk ourselves out of it. And we use humans as the reason we talk ourselves out of it. We need to set that aside. And we need to let the living God talk ourselves into it. We go because of Jesus. We go because Jesus is leading us. Here's what I mean. We go to make disciples of all nations because that is the heart of God. Period. And you might just need to go next door. You might just need to go to the grocery store. You might just go to work. We live in a community where we can join in making disciples of all nations. Look around the room. And I've been thinking about this for followers of Jesus particularly. This is actually connecting us to heaven. When we get a picture and a vision of heaven, Revelation says, I looked out and I saw a sea of people, a multitude too vast to count. And it was every tribe, every tongue, every nation worshiping God. And the only reason that's possible is because God is faithful to fulfill His mission in the earth, and He knows every tribe, tongue, nation, and people will be there proclaiming God above all things, and His glory will fill everything. So let's not wait. I can tell you right now, the cry of my heart is, I want more heaven. That's why I probably went to bed last night in a bad mood. Because I face things that are not heavenly sometimes in me. Uh-oh. In my thoughts. God's glory was not filling my thoughts when they were selfish. I was filling my thoughts. Is that too? That's like the discipleship journey, right? When we get a vision of heaven and we just go, God, let your will be done. Let heaven happen here on earth in me and through me. What we realize is it is a surrender to Jesus. I am surrendering all of me in my life to Jesus. I am following Jesus. You speak, I follow. You command, I go. Being shaped and formed by Jesus. And this is like the journey we're all on in real time right now, because it's not yet perfect. It's not all fulfilled. In Jesus it is, but in me it's still being formed. Amen? And so let me tell you what was happening. I was with a group of people recently, and there was a guy teaching about the mission of God in the earth. And he loves the nations, and he has a huge heart for it. And he's talking to a room of pastors. He goes, hey, I'm going to give you a Bible test. And I was like, no, thanks. So I'm going to give you a Bible test so you can feel what I felt that day. And he goes, there's this Bible verse in Psalm 46. It's verse 10, and it says this, be still and... And he just, the whole room gets quiet. He goes, can you finish it? Be still. I'm going to give you one extra word. Be still and know. And the room kind of did that. There was enough voices that spoke up. I could kind of sheepishly go, oh, quick, Google it. Like Google AI. What is the, you know? Be still and know that I am God. He goes, great, you're not done. And then the whole room got quiet. We knew, be still and know that I am God. That's so personal of me. That's actually very individualistic of me for moments that it is peace and chaos and spinning and distress. But why can we do that? Why can we be still and know that he is God? And then he says, here's the punchline. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I am above it all. I've created it all. It will all bow to me and worship me and exalt me, because that is the entire aim of creation. Amen? That's the missional moment, that we would be a people who are captured by the love of God and the presence of God and the heart of God, and all we can do is exalt God everywhere we go. And when we exalt God everywhere we go, we will proclaim his story in the earth. We will proclaim his glory in the earth. So that when you go to work and you exalt God through your work, people will notice you and they'll go, what is that about? And when you show up as a person of peace on the select sports team and you're the only one not losing your mind, because 8U baseball is real, folks, and you're a person of peace and you go, look, let me tell you about the God that I know who's being exalted in all the earth right now. He's being exalted in my life. Be still and know that I am God. See, God's intention and purpose has always been all nations. All nations. Genesis 18:18, Revelation 7:9, Psalm 46:10. Among the nations and in all the earth, what does it say the aim is? That God will be exalted. And what we see on the mountain is it says they worshiped him. The primary way we grow as a missional people is we grow as a worshiping people. That we worship God for who he is. We worship because Jesus is alive. We worship because we know we're not God, and we humble ourselves and we surrender and praise the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. We worship God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we learn to let that fill every part of our life. To go as a missional people means we go as a worshiping people. We're surrendered to God. We're praising God. We're listening to God. So when we're in the grocery store, we worship God by seeing the people that are made in his image. Our hearts are soft. Our ears are attentive. Our worship is central in this missional moment. But the thing that's really hard about worship is it's about surrender. And it's actually, I think Jesus actually wants you to surrender all of your life. It's sort of an interesting thing to say, hey, God, I'll take you up on that that eternity thing, but I got it from here. If we disconnect our spiritual life from our natural life, we miss what God wants to do. And then we're prone to worship other things. We worship money. We worship ourselves. We worship comfort. We worship convenience. We worship ease. We worship control. And the reason I know that happens is because on that mountain, it says they worshiped him, but some doubted. And I love that that's in the Bible. You should too. You should love the honesty of that moment. Because what we see is the humanity of disciples, followers of Jesus who had just seen him crucified, buried, and now he's raised to life. They're going, I don't know about this. I mean, is that real? Is this like a figment of my imagination? What I want us to see very clearly here is this missional moment calls us to depend on God. He says, all authority has been given to who? To me, Jesus. The authority is in Jesus, not in you and me. So he's saying, because of the authority that's in me, this is the message from last week, he then directs us to go. And the way we go is dependent on him, dependent on his authority, dependent on his life. Because God wants you to depend on him, to stay connected in relationship, in all things. That's how we work in relationship, in surrender. Just think about this for a second. If you can only depend on God in your faith being great, what are you actually depending on? Your faith. What do you think about these disciples who showed up in the presence of the resurrected Jesus and all they had to bring was their doubt? How do you make sense of that? Where does that actually give you hope for what you know to be true of your own lived story? It makes me think about the time I was driving in my car and I had believed God had spoken a promise to me and to my family. And all I was experiencing was the shattering of what I thought that promise was going to be. And all I could ask is, what is happening? How is this possible? Why did it go this way? When will you do something about this, God? Why have you done this to me? Where are you? Why is this going the way it's going? Question after question after question. Surely you're with me to the very end of the age, except in this moment and in this thing. See, if we cannot bring our doubt as our worship, then we cannot bring our humanity to God. And we cannot humble ourselves and in our doubt realize what I know is I'm not God. I have questions. I wouldn't have done it this way. Some doubted. In the presence of the risen Jesus, some doubted. What I want you to see, the truth in this text, is disciples are prone to doubt. So what do you do? We can see very clearly here, there was a response of worship and there was a reality of doubt. And we need to know that sometimes the best worship we can bring is our actual doubt and our uncertainty and our insecurity and our questions. And we just put ourselves in God's presence. And then we let God be God. Be exalted over this season of my marriage. Be exalted over this season of my finances. Be exalted over this season of my parenting. Be exalted above my frustration at work. Be exalted above my family. Be exalted above my displeasure with life, my disappointment, my discouragement, my anger, my rage. What is it in us that we need to have God exalted above? Because if we're not living with that authentic walk with God, then what mission and story and testimony do we have to share? One that won't feel real to the people who are looking for real hope. And I think Jesus knows this. So disciples are prone to doubt. But let me tell you the good news of this text. In a world where faith and doubt are present and global, where I understand you probably live with both faith and doubt, the hope that I take for us in this scripture is doubt does not deter God. My doubt does not render God powerless. My doubt does not discourage God. My doubt does not distance God. My doubt does not deter God from being faithful and loving and actively pursuing me and you. Amen? Doubt does not deter God. This is the best news. God knows our human heart and our human mind. God knows our thoughts. He knows our struggle. God invites us to live for Him and follow Him in the midst of our doubt. It says they worshiped Him and some doubted. And then what does He say? Don't worry about it because all authority has been given to me. Therefore, go. Go. Take your doubt and go. Take your worship and go. Because it is more about who I am and the authority I have than it is about you. And that's freedom. And that's what we all need to hear today. We can all, as followers of Jesus, step into the story of sharing our authentic walk with Jesus when we will bring our faith and our doubt and be honest in God's presence. And then let God lead. Let God guide. Let God give authority and presence and say, surely I am with you. One of the commentaries I read that I appreciated says this out of the Bible Hub. Reflecting on Matthew 28:17, it says, Matthew 28:17 shows real disciples encountering the real risen Jesus. Seeing him leads to worship, confirming his divine identity, yet the passage also acknowledges lingering human hesitation. Jesus meets both worship and doubt with grace, turning wavering followers into bold witnesses who carry his gospel, the good news, to the ends of the earth. Could I encourage you this week to see a Jesus who wants your honesty? If he'll meet you in your honesty, guess what you'll learn? He'll meet every coworker in theirs. He'll meet every family member in theirs, every kid in theirs, every neighbor in theirs. It's got to start with us. And I do think he intends to send you to real people that he loves so that you can proclaim the living God in a hopeful, authentic, honest way with people who are looking for who God is and what God has. I actually think he intends to work through the church when we go to the streets, when we go to work, when we leave this place. I sure hope so. Because if not, that's a lot hanging on the preaching. That was a good joke, wasn't it? You're like, oh no, Kurt, it's all on you, bud. It's all on you. Even that, like, do y'all feel that? You're like, actually, yeah, that's not real. It's actually not on us. It's on Jesus, who promises the Holy Spirit to fill us so that we can be recipients of God and we can give God away. But as a pastor in New York, Rich Velotis says, there's one place God does not exist, and that's in illusion. God dwells in reality. Welcome God into your reality this morning. And as you encounter the faithfulness of God in your reality, you then have a testimony to share. What we're going to do is I'm going to let the room be quiet for just a second. And I want you to be aware of where you are on your journey today. If you're here and you're exploring faith, welcome to the journey. There are going to be days you feel full of faith and you find Jesus to be the Savior of your life, and there are going to be days you feel disappointed and discouraged and full of doubt. And God reaches for you every day. If you're here and you already profess faith in Jesus, God wants to do more in you in a way that you would feel like you have something to offer the world around you. So what do you want God to do today? The sense that I had as I was praying for us and I knew we were going to be gathering is that the goal of what I see in Matthew 28 is we welcome God close, period. Welcome God close in your worship. Welcome God close in your doubt. Welcome God close in your going. Welcome God close in your waiting. Welcome God close. We are here today because 11 were willing to listen to Jesus and live for Jesus. What could God do in our willingness to surrender and praise and share a genuine faith that does not ignore the doubts, but humbly welcomes God close in every day and everything? So it's going to be quiet, and I'm going to give you time to listen to God, to pray to God, to let your voice be heard by God. And I encourage you to welcome God close. And then we're going to respond in a time of communion, and we'll close our service that way today.